Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome to an
edition of the Bloody Knuckle Show, BK Show 1 on Twitter, presented by Nobody. It's presented by 319 Wine and Cheese. Me and Andrew are going on our own. We don't need anyone to present our product, but we do have the people that hold us down. 319 Wine and Cheese, the best wine bar in Tallahassee. It's my business, my blood. So shout out to them. Also, of course, me and Andrew are part of the movement, along with Chael Sonnen, Dan Henderson, Randy Couture. It's the American Fighting System. Just look out for it. Go talk to Bobby Gunn. He'll tell you all about it. We are Americans. Ask Don Fry about it. He'll give you a 30-minute speech about how, you know, we're trying to take over the fighting scene again. It's American, sponsored by Don Fry himself. On the line with me tonight, a man that told Don Fry once that he should grow a mustache. A man that told Nick Diaz, yo, bro, you should start flicking people off during your fights. A man that told Anderson Silva, it's just a boner pill. It's not PEDs. A man that told Conor McGregor, one day you will be not only a featherweight champion, but you will be a lightweight champion. A man that told Dana White, did you hear about that thing, Ultimate Fighting? Maybe you and Fertitta should go and invest in it. The man that told Don King to put some hair gel in that mop of the head. The man that told Deontay Wilder, don't fight anybody good, man. Just beat up a bunch of bums. The man that told Spike TV, hey, maybe you should try out the Ultimate Fighter. The man who told Scott Coker, hey, go out there and get Kimbo Slice and Tito Ortiz. Maybe you'll get some ratings. He is the Madonna, the motherfucking man that goes and is hotter than anyone, the one a number one spotter, the man that is the shatter. I'm going off the handles, but it doesn't matter because he is Mr. Andrew. Don't give a fuck. Slap your mama in the butt. Conor McGregor, lightweight champion. That's what's up. King of Rochester. Give a fuck. And he's smarter than Nestor. If you're her friend, you know that. And he is the motherfucking king of the Bloody Knuckle Show. It is Andrew Meredith. Andrew, I tried to say that intro, probably my worst ever, but you know what? I'm a little bit out of it tonight because I just got knocked out by Conor McGregor news that it disappoints me, excites me, and scares me all at the same time, and I just don't know how to control these feelings. But what's up, homie?
Straight yo, what it do? But no, we might as well just dive right into it. Conor McGregor, RDA, is supposed to happen. Also, it's official and announced that Holly Holm, Misha Tate is happening. So, you know, for the fans that listened last night, they got the insider information first.
Is that on 197, too?
I don't believe that one is on 197, but Connor's on 197.
I'll text Dana and see if I can get the info right on that one, too.
First thing, right off my head, before we delve in this matchup, Connor's at 197. He's fighting RDA. Real quick, I just thought about this, wanted to ask it.
So, I mean, is there going to be no good fighters at UFC 200? Is that where we're going at?
Do you think that Conor will fight again at UFC 200? And if not Conor, who is it going to be? John Jones and...
No, because now they're saying John Jones is UFC 198, and they're trying to make it in New York. The official first UFC in New York card, UFC 198. They're trying to, right now they're fighting in court to get it passed, and they're trying to make it in Madison Square Garden, John Jones, UFC 198. So are we going to have Robbie Lawler, Carlos Condit too at UFC 200? Is Dana White going to surprise us with, like, is George St. Pierre return really our UFC 200? Like, I mean, you have the three biggest names in the sport. I understand you have to fill pay-per-views, but, I mean, I guess one of them could be ready. Ronda's definitely not fighting. I mean, she's on Saturday Night Live this weekend, which we'll dive into that right there, because that's not a good look, in my opinion, for her. Maybe it is, making fun of herself a little bit. I'm not sure, but I mean, is Ronda going to be ready? Is she even going to be fighting at that point? Can Conor bounce back that quick? I mean, if he gets knocked out, that totally kind of ruins his, you know, it doesn't ruin it, but if he got knocked out, if he got beat at featherweight, it would be a lot worse, but he could lose at lightweight and come back at UFC 200 and still be a draw, but he's not going to be the draw he was. And, you know, John Jones, I guess they can save that fight, but that's a long shelf period for Daniel Cormier. And then it's like, why are you fighting to get into New York if, you know, you're not going to have that John Jones fight on there because Chris Weidman is no longer a champion? There's a lot to dive into, Andrew. So let's start with Conor McGregor, RDA, huge news. You know, UFC 197, my first beef with this, it's not that I'm scared Conor's going to lose. I have confidence in Conor. I am very scared, I'm not going to lie, because RDA is a monster. You know, we'll get into all that. But it's that Conor has the gate records, you know, like he keeps breaking gate records. All these Irish fans keep traveling to Las Vegas. I mean, there's no way you can have, like, are these Irish fans going to travel to Brazil? And if they do, they're going to have a riot on their hands. The UFC literally will have a riot with Irish fans fighting Brazilian fans in the stands. Like, you really think that the Brazilian fans are going to let the Irish fans act like they do in Las Vegas, like how they take over? And are the Irish fans even going to risk going to Brazil? Why would they risk their gate, man? Like, Conor McGregor, their champion, pound for pound of, you know, bringing in the most fans to fight. Why would they not have him in America or in Ireland? And why is Conor McGregor the greatest right now still not getting a fight in Ireland? Why should he have to go to Brazil to fight RDA? And we all know RDA has been suspect on, you know, being on PEDs. All of a sudden, he's going to Brazil where pretty much you can take whatever you want. So now it's like maybe he'll be fighting the more roided up RDA version. I just don't get why you're sending Conor McGregor to Brazil. How does that make sense? Please tell me how that makes sense, Andrew, please.
Ryan, this matchup, honestly, I do think the biggest part of this matchup might have been McGregor flexing his strength and his pull in the UFC and his star power. Ryan, we both know Dana did not want this to happen. Dana did not. I don't think Dana
wanted.
You think
McGregor would want to go to Brazil?
I know RDA said it. I know, though, Dana originally did not want him to have this. He didn't want him to fight for the, you know, defend both belts and fight for the lightweight belts. Now, the weird part about it is the update I read did not say, you know, title fight. So, you know, is there even going to be a belt on the line? But how could there not be? You know what I mean? So that
why
also
wouldn't
is
interesting.
I don't know. Maybe you could. What if it was like a catch weight fight or something like
there's
that?
There's no point to that. The reason why he would go up would be to get to, like, if there was between him and RDA, like if there was Cowboy Cerrone or Nate Diaz, I could see there being a catch weight, but there's not any real, like, it's not like you're going to sell pay-per-views over a beef and these guys have to fight. The selling point is Conor McGregor's going up to get another belt. It's not the fact that he's fighting RDA, you know what I'm saying? Like, That's the whole reason why he would go up is to get a belt. Do a catch weight would just be stupid. That would this whole thing is I understand him going up to lightweight. What I don't is Dana White, in my opinion, I have to read more into it, but I believe 197 is officially Brazil. I don't think they can change the venue like that after they've already booked it. I think this is Dana White saying, you know, Conor McGregor came out and said, you know, he probably went to Dana and said, I'm fighting at lightweight. I don't care what you say. And Dana's response was because ultimately Conor McGregor probably right now has the control over, you know, who he fights, where he fights, all that, or not where, but what weight class he fights at, you know, that kind of stuff. And Dana's response was, you know what, my punishment for Conor is I'm going to not only make him fight, I mean, not make him, but he's not only going to fight RDA, a machine, a monster, but he's going to fight him in Brazil. Is definitely a disadvantage for Conor, and I'm just going to be amazed to see, you know, are the Irish fans going to travel there? And if they do, I mean, is this fight even going to happen? Because I think there's going to be a riot in the stands.
There might definitely be a riot. Definitely going to need some extra police for that one. Although, all right, I know maybe that was Dana's little fuck you to Conor for being in Brazil. But this is one thing I do I love about this fight. And, if you know, we are speculating, folks. We have no idea who is the mastermind. But, I mean, I do know that, like, if Conor, this is the ultimate test. One thing I would question that, you know, I'd have to ask you, Ryan, if it was Conor, and you were his coach or whatnot, and you saw, or you were his manager, and he wanted to do this, and, you know, it was like, you know what I mean, like, he wanted to take the fight, what would you say, you know, what would you say to him? Would you want him to take the fight? What would you say to Conor? Do you like the confidence? Just what are your thoughts? How would you guide Conor if you were his manager?
From what I've heard, what Conor's coach has said is he's struggling too much to make 145. Mm-hmm. So it in the backstage, like in the you know, outside the arena, outside of what we see, because Conor McGregor is a huge human being for a 145 pounder, he is struggling to make the weight that much, and we've seen it with Johnny Hendricks. It's kind of been his downfall trying to make 170. Also, Kevin Gastelum, you know, it's been his downfall. The worst thing you can have is Conor McGregor, you know, having a 145-pound title fight and just being absolutely weight-drained and not being ready for Frankie Edgar because he could just no longer make that weight. And, you know, so if that's the case, then I would be all behind him going to 155. What I would tell Conor is, maybe take a fight like Nate Diaz, which is going to sell out the roof, a fight that's entertaining. It's going to, you know, definitely be a test for Conor, but have him get used to 155 before he jumps right in there against a guy like RDA, who just looks like an absolute monster right now. Even a fight with Cowboy Cerrone, which he had beef with, was already going up to 170 and fighting again, like, so we see, like, Cowboy can bounce back that fast. But if I was Conor's coach, I would have to have confidence in my fighter. I wouldn't be scared of RDA. I mean, let's think about it. RDA did get beat by, like, what, Clay Guida? I mean, he's not that might have been Pettis, but I know RDA, it was Khabib that beat him. There's people guys that have beat RDA before he's been on this run. He's not unbeatable, and if you look at it, I would tell Conor, you know, you want this fight, you know, we're going to probably get the most powerful Conor we've seen because he's not going to have to cut as much weight. I would tell him, really, basically, we got to bring in Olympic wrestlers, we got to get ready for RDA's takedowns, and we really got to get that left hand ready and basically have our striking ready, because really what this fight comes down to is, can RDA take Conor down and just give him that, you know, crazy ground and pound that RDA has? Because if Chad Mendes can take Conor down like that, then RDA definitely can. But can RDA withstand Conor's striking? Because I know Anthony Pettis and Cowboy are great strikers, but I don't think we've ever seen a striker like Conor McGregor. So, in my opinion, this also isn't really, I wouldn't say it's a win-win, but I don't think Conor loses a lot in this fight if he loses this fight. You know what I'm saying? Because he's going against a bigger fighter. He's going up the lightweight. Like, he'll lose a little bit if he loses it, but if he makes it a competitive fight and he makes it a brawl and an entertaining fight, then maybe that will even add to his, you know, his legend a little bit. But it's a scary fight, Andrew. I mean, in your opinion, just looking at both guys right now and the runs that they're on, probably one of the bigger super fights we've had in a long time. And yes, this is a super fight. Who do you think has the advantages in, you know, different aspects of the fight?
All right, real quick before I answer that, I did just get some official news. It's official, UFC 197 on March 5th in Las Vegas. It will not be.
Oh, okay.
And the co-main event is Holly Holmes versus Miesha Tate. And Ryan, you know, it's kind of funny, though.
It'll be the biggest pay-per-view. It'll break the Aldo pay-per-view.
This is a huge pay-per-view, Ryan. You know, it's kind of funny, though. Seeing this, though, you know, Holly fighting so quick, this has to put the name that Dana made Holly fight, because, you know what I mean? Doesn't this kind of make it seem like, because we all know Ronda was going to come back by March, you know what I mean, or maybe a little bit after that. I don't know. I just thought it was funny seeing those official matchups. But as far as going to fight, I mean, honestly, Conor's his movement is going to have to be. The weird part is, Ryan, we've always seen Conor cut so much weight. So you got to wonder how big he's going to be when he, you know, when he fights, when he goes up to 155 and fights him. You know what I mean? Right now,
like 195 pounds.
What do you think RDA is?
RDA has to be like 185, 190, probably on fight night. I mean, after the weight drain, most fighters put on like 20 pounds after they cut weight. It sounds crazy to people who don't know weight cutting, but these guys really do put on that much weight on fight night. They take that much out of their body. And, you know, some guys don't put as much weight back on. Some guys choose not to. But most guys do. And I would say Conor's the taller, you know, more lengthy guy. But RDA is probably the stockier, more muscular guy. I don't know. They're both very big guys. You know, they're both pretty big and that's really what's made Conor such a monster at featherweight. I mean, he's just been so much bigger than all of his opponents.
Oh, yes, I definitely have to agree. Ryan, I might be getting ahead of myself right here asking this question about Conor McGregor way ahead of myself, but if he is to beat RDA, I don't know if I've ever seen a run that if he's able to beat RDA in March, that run, the Conor McGregor UFC run,
beating both RDA,
if he is able, because not only, you know, what he did to Jose Aldo in one punch, you know, knocked out Mendez, you just look at his last three fights, that might be one of the best runs ever, if not the best.
I mean, look at it this way. Not only did he knock out Chad Mendez, but Poirier just beat Joseph Duffy, the guy who beat Conor McGregor, and he's on a hell of a run. Max Holloway is now top five at featherweight and hasn't lost since Conor McGregor beat him. Conor McGregor beat, arguably, if you put Dustin Poirier back at featherweight, he would probably be top five. So Conor McGregor has pretty much demolished the whole featherweight division other than Frankie Edgar. And really they call it the big four, big five in the featherweight division. You know, Frankie beat Chad Mendez. There's Chad Mendez, Jose Aldo. And, you know, Conor McGregor has taken them all out but Frankie Edgar. And that is a fight that definitely has to happen in the future. And you got to think, Frankie Edgar is the loser in all of this. I mean, once again, the guy is left out. What do you do with Frankie here? In my opinion, I think they should put him on the card. Put him against Max Holloway, maybe, another top five fighter, and really just make that the number one contender fight and, you know, have them fight, you know, the winner of that fight, fight Conor at UFC 200, no matter what happens with Conor, because he has to go back down and defend that UFC 145 strap at some point, no matter what happens in the lightweight fight.
Yeah, I mean, that is, I gotta feel for Frankie. You know, you gotta think at this point in Frankie's career, is he just gonna, you know, is he gonna wanna sit and wait for the title shot? I mean, Frankie's a pretty active guy. And I can't lie, I feel for Frankie Edgar. I mean, the man beat, what, the last two or three number one contenders down. Like, he didn't just beat him. He beat him the hell down.
I think he retired homeboy. What's his name? Cub Swanson. He retired him.
Cub did not come back from that one.
Remember, there was a time where people were saying Cub Swanson was better than Conor McGregor? The craziness of the MMA media to actually say that. I mean, shout out to Sure Dog Radio for saying that, because they actually said that at one point. I just got to point that out.
That is funny.
And what's his name,
the Diamond, Dustin Poirier.
Oh, there were so many people out there that said Dustin Poirier was better than Conor. I mean, Conor can't beat this guy and this guy. And Jordan Breen, I'm talking to you, you punk-ass bitch. He's a Sure Dog Radio host. I told him on Twitter after the Jose Aldo. He said Conor McGregor, and this was about a year ago, had absolutely no chance of getting the featherweight title from Jose Aldo. This is how the MMA media thinks. And once again, the MMA media is going to say that Conor McGregor is a joke and he has no chance of beating RDA and he should be fighting Frankie Edgar. Let the guy try to make history. I feel for Frankie Edgar. I think he should be getting his shot. He's going to get his shot. He just needs to be patient. But how many times do we get to see super fights? They never happen. We always talk about them. George St. Pierre versus Anderson Silva never happened. And the longer you wait with super fights in MMA, they never happen. Look at the old days. Mark Coleman was going to fight Vitor Belfort in a super fight when they were both coming on the heavyweight team. It never happened. Ken Shamrock was going to fight Tank Abbott. They had so much beef. They were, you know, the original superstars. It never happened. Anderson Silva, George St. Pierre. I mean, it goes on and on. Sakuraba versus Frank Shamrock. There's Fedor versus Randy Couture, Fedor versus Brock Lesnar. All these fights never happen. And why not have a guy finally go up and wait? We've been waiting for John Jones to go up and win the heavyweight title. It never happened. We waited for Anderson Silva to go win the 205 belt. It never happened. So why not? Other than BJ Penn, who went up and won I believe he did win the welterweight belt at one point, or he lost George St. Pierre. I think he might have lost, but he did go up and try it. We haven't had a super fight since BJ Penn, George St. Pierre. So why not? And this fight kind of reminds me of that fight. You have RDA, who, you know, is good all around, kind of like George St. Pierre. And then you kind of have the prodigy. I think he's a little better, and I'm saying that right now. Conor's better than BJ Penn, and Conor McGregor, who's just dynamic all over the place. And I think just let this super fight happen. The Brazilians are going to be crazy all over the place. The Irish fans are going to be crazy. And not only that, Andrew, but we got to dive into it. We got Holly Holm, Miesha Tate. And before I ask my first question, I got to say this. Brendan Schaub, I listened to your whack-ass podcast today, Fighter and the Kid, horrible podcast. I don't know what you're doing with your hair. You look like a Backstreet Boy and you're wearing pink pants. You're obviously not fighting anymore, Brandon Schaub. Please, somebody get this guy a stylist. But he said that Miesha Tate and Korea had better chances to beat Holly Holm than Ronda Rousey because of the stylistic matchup. That makes no sense to me. Miesha Tate is a great fighter. Holly Holm is a great fighter. If Miesha Tate beats Holly Holm, she was the better fighter on that night. She's not going to beat Holly Holm because she's a better stylistic matchup. How is Miesha Tate a better stylistic matchup? She doesn't have better takedowns than Ronda. She has pretty much the same stand-up as Ronda. The only thing you can say is she's a little more patient, but she's still going to be getting hit by left hands by Holly Holm. Holly Holm's still going to come in there with a good game plan. If anything, you can say Ronda was just over, you know, she didn't have the right game plan, and maybe she should switch coaches. I just think that, you know, some of the MMA media people, Andrew, are just dumbasses. Sorry, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, and they disgust me. But moving on, Andrew, Holly Holm, Miesha Tate. Miesha Tate finally has her title shot that does not involve Ronda Rousey, which is her kryptonite. I think she can, you know, get past that hurdle, finally win that title, beat Holly Holm. Because we have seen that Holly Holm has not looked that great against other fighters other than that one night in history where she upset Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, this is, first of all, the stylist, I think saying that is kind of a lazy job, and just looking at it is saying, oh, well, Ronda's a wrestler, and Miesha's a striker, she has the advantage, you know, she has the advantage over the wrestler, which is kind of funny, Ryan. It's kind of contradicting if you look at the history of, you know, the UFC and mixed martial arts, who's always been a harder problem matchup for a striker, not a wrestler. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just
yeah.
Kind of say that. But
my Brandon Schaub sucks.
Yeah, like, but anyways, idiot. real quick, I don't think Misha's gonna get it done. Holly looked too dominant. Her striking, I mean, Miesha will. You know, Misha's tough. That's what I'll say about Miesha. She's a little tough. I've went back and I watched a couple of Holly fights. Some of them she did not look good at all. Some she looked, you know, just kind of dominant. Never as good as she looked against Ronda. I got Holly getting the victory. I hope Holly gets the victory. We'll
Andrew,
see how it turns out, though.
Do you think Dana White regrets booking Holly Holm as Ronda's opponent? Like, do you think that, looking back, because Holly Holm was not the clear-cut number one contender. Do you think, looking back, if the UFC could change everything, obviously they're going to get, hopefully, one day we're going to get Holly Holm, Ronda Rousey. If Miesha Tate pulls the upset, then we may never get that fight. But do you think that, looking back, Dana White and the UFC just has to be like, damn, we should have never put Holly Holm in that fight? Or do you think they kind of are trying to push Holly Holm? Because Holly Holm is getting a lot of media attention. Do you think they're trying to push her as their new superstar?
I mean, you got to have to try and push her, especially with Ronda being out. If they could go back, oh, I'm sure. Because, I mean, before Ronda lost, let's be honest, people were comparing her to a Greek goddess. Like, she was.
We laughed at Holly Holm on this show. We did.
Yeah. She was. And, you know, for Ronda, maybe as a human being, maybe she had to lose. I don't know. People were. Let's put it this way, Ryan. Ronda Rousey, the way she was winning and what she was doing and how dominantly she was doing it, it's kind of like when they just ascend to, like, you know, almost like guys, like, oh, my God, like, you know what I mean? And,
yeah,
you know, maybe she did get a little too, you know, you got a little too
big-headed.
I hate to say.
But on going point, back, no, I would not, though. Dana's got to regret, though, that he made that position. I mean,
on that point,
like
though, you just kind of brought it up. Everyone's been talking about it. You know, everyone said the reason, well, now everyone's saying, you know, Holly Holmes is better than Ronda Rousey. But right after the fight, a lot of people were saying Ronda, you know, on the embedded, UFC embedded, she was with Mike Tyson. She went and visited George Foreman. You know, she had all of these, you know, media, basically media obligations. And we see from Conor McGregor, that's really no excuse. But, you know, Ronda Rousey was all over the place acting. And that was kind of the downfall of Gina Carano, other than Cyborg being so goddamn big and strong. But other than, you know, Gina having to fight a man. But basically, you know, that was, everyone was talking about, you know, Ronda, stop concentrating on fighting. Well, now we have the news that instead of Ronda, you would think she would be like in Rocky when he goes up in the mountains and he's hitting raw meat and stuff like that. You would think that's what Ronda is doing right now. Instead, we hear that she is hosting Saturday Night Live. I believe it's this Saturday. Andrew,
wow.
Do you think this is a bad move? Like, because you can look at it and say, hey, maybe this will get her fans back, that people, you know, those people that hate Ronda, that think she's all about herself, you know, she can make fun of herself a little bit. Like, just digest this. I don't even know how to put it into a question. It's just, to me, it's a little shocking she goes so quick into Saturday Night Live after, you know, I just think this girl should be in the gym training after getting beat so bad.
You know, Ryan, it was kind of funny even before. I didn't even know about that Saturday Night Live. I'm kind of taken back. I even read before that, you know, she said she's just been, I think she said she's been, like, eating a lot of ice cream sitting on the couch, which is kind of funny because it's a stereotype. It's just kind of funny. Stereotypes. So
Ronda becomes 300 pounds.
In all seriousness, we don't hope that happens. But it's kind of funny. But you think, you know, Ryan, this really tells me, you know, there was the rumors she wanted to take a break from it. She seemed like she wanted to get out. Yet again, after her win streak, she got, you know, she got so popular, people had to hate on her. You know what I mean? To anything, there's always the people for it and the people against it. She got too big. People had to take a side. She beefed with Money Man.
The Lil Wayne
effect. Yeah, the Lil Wayne effect. Ooh, I like that. We got to coin that term, that phrase. It's pretty much
already
the Lil Wayne
coined
effect.
It.
Ooh, I like that. The Lil Wayne effect, I think it happened to her, and she's got to do to get, I guess, she's got to get right mentally. I mean, you know, she might pull the Jim Brown. You know, Ryan, for a while I was thinking, like, yo, Ronda, why would you, you're so great at mixed martial arts, why would you leave for acting? But then I thought to the great Jim Brown, he's like, I get paid twice as much, and I don't have to do any of this. I mean, you got to think, Ryan, you're an MMA fighter, you're making good money. I mean, it really boils down, though, do you have the love of competition? Ronda has been, though, she's been competing all her life, and, you know, maybe she is burnt out. I do think she will fight again after some time, but you got to think, even if Ronda never stepped foot in the octagon again, her legacy would be amazing. I mean, I know the loss to Holly hurt it, but, I mean, it's kind of like you came and you dominated.
Brought women to the UFC. Now, Dana White said if there was no Ronda versus Misha in Strikeforce, that, you know, and there was no Ronda, he would have never brought women to UFC. He's on record saying that. He is a sexist pig. We all know that about Dana. He is quoted as saying Ronda Rousey is like a fucking Diaz brothers with a pair of tits or something like that, or with a beautiful fucking face or something like that. I don't know. It was a weird quote. We all know Dana White's fucking weird. weird. As Ronda sits on her couch eating her ice cream, probably 300 pounds right now. All I'm saying, if she goes on Saturday Night Live and she's looking a little plump, it's going to be funny. You know, she's looking like Jack Black out there. Everyone's like, oh, Jack Black's on Saturday Night Live. Oh, that's Rhonda. Ooh, that's not good.
Yo, how many knockout jokes do you think we're going to hear?
Knockout jokes?
Yeah, they got to be making jokes that whole show about her getting knocked out.
Oh, there's going to be, I mean, how is Rhonda going to react? I just don't think
what if she
that.
Beats down Ronda Rousey beats down Jimmy Fallon, who after the house is on Saturday Night Live these days. Oh, that'd be some great entertainment.
Yeah, at one point Ronda start crying and then like total meltdown. Ronda's done. Like she cries, she sits down and has a total. This could be the total meltdown we've been waiting for. Like you know, and. Rhonda also, on the Rhonda point, one last thing. Her family needs to stop talking to the media. Her mom, before the fight, you know, talked about how she needs a new coach, which, goddamn, does she need a new coach. That unibrow motherfucker she has. I know she's been with them for a while. He trained Travis Brown for one fight, and then Travis Brown left. He was like, fuck this. If you look in between rounds with Holly Holm, all his advice was, you got to stop getting hit by left hands. Okay, yeah, great advice, buddy. I think we all could see that. She has no other good fighters around her. And then we have, like, Holly Holm, who's in Jackson, Winklejohn, which I think they're all on that secret supplement that John Jones is on. Andrew, just listen to this. All right. Overeem all of a sudden starts winning. Andre Arlovsky goes on that huge win streak. Holly Holm beats Ronda Rousey. John Jones comes back and looks like a Greek god. Carlos Condit looks like an absolute machine against Robbie Lawler. All I'm saying is all of Winklejohn and Jackson's fighters secretly on Texacor and NO2 Spurs, which me and you have looked up, pretty much a legal PED. I'm just saying, you know, look at the fighters and look at the, you know, their main fighter is on those supplements. It's just a little theory I have.
It is a very interesting theory. And, you know, Ryan, you think at the level of sports. I mean, Greg Jackson, one of the things I'll say, I don't know how he does it, but he seems to, he gets his fighters to be patient. You know what I mean? Like,
he's the best in between, like, not only before fights, but in between, like in the corner. And then he has Winklejohn, who's like one of the best, who actually, you know, was 1-0 in the UFC, just knocked somebody out and then retired. He's like one of the best kickboxing coaches ever. Like literally.
I love that.
The UFC was going to make him their huge star. It was a period where they kept hyping up guys and they just kept retiring. Like, Mark Kerr just disappeared to Japan. Like, then all of a sudden they brought out Mike Winklejohn. He was supposed to be the next Frank Shamrock. They had him in the main event or co-main event. He just knocked the guy out in 30 seconds and said he retired and just walked off. He was just completely shocked.
That might be kind of the coolest. Talk about going out like, oh well, if you only had one fight in your UFC career or your MMA career, you went out like that, like a G. That's pretty badass. I mean,
and then goes on to be one of the best coaches ever. Come on, can't beat that.
We're probably making 3 times as much as he was making at the UFC, 10 times as much as he was making at the UFC.
Oh, for sure. And you got to think that, you know, as a coach, you're like, all right, how am I going to attract, you know, all these housewives and stuff that these MMA teams really make the money off of? Let me get that one UFC fight in that I could put on my plaque on my wall with my black belts, and boom, all of a sudden you probably double all the people you have. But getting back on track, this event, UFC 197, which is completely overshadowing UFC 196, but to me it's almost like a UFC 200 type card, you know. I'm kind of sad for the fans in Brazil. The UFC definitely screwed them over. But it's definitely a huge event. Just looking at it, I mean, it's just going to be so big. Andrew, do you think they should do a world tour for this event?
oh, God, you need to do a world tour. Connor, RDA, Misha, and Holly. You know Misha will be pretty good in a world tour. She's good on the camera. You know, she is. She's charismatic.
Can you tell me, because, you know, you were my former psychologist. Why do I hate Misha Tate? Why? Like, something about her. I just hate her. I hate her so much. But I love her, but...
Her face, I know. Her face is, like, a little melted. Like, remember that one girl from Jersey Shore? It's her face, bro. It's the face.
Is it Brian Caraway? Maybe it's Brian Caraway.
Brian Caraway, too. But you know who she looks like? The girl who came on Jersey Shore.
Oh, Sammy Sweetheart?
No, not Sammy. The one who face. Dina. She has
Cookie.
The same
Cookie.
Dina. Yeah, she has the same face. It was like God was putting her body together, and like they like put her face in the microwave for 15 seconds.
It's like that girl just got in great shape, and then just became a fighter.
Right. I mean, she'd have to be a fighter. Her face looks like, I don't know, they were like, she looks like she got mushed by fucking Herschel Walker, and it left permanent damage. He just stiff-armed her and mushed her face down permanently.
No, it does look like that. I gotta agree. Now,
like
looking
Jordan's
at
the fish from Finding Nemo.
Looking at the schedule, we got UFC 196, Cain versus Verdum. I'm sorry when you have a big heavyweight title fight. It's big to me. I can't wait. All those great box cards. But let's say this is the schedule. We have UFC 197, the Conor versus RDA fight.
Oh, 1 minute warning.
Okay, real quick, 198 is in New York, Madison Square Garden, John Jones versus Cormier. And then 199 is, you know, you throw some of the lightweight fighters on, or I'm sorry, like Mighty Mouse, or no, Vitor versus Rockhold or something like that. And then UFC 200, Conor comes back. Versus Frankie Edgar, and, you know, maybe we have GSP versus Anderson. Do you think that's the greatest stretch of UFC events of all time, opening up a year?
Yes.
That's all I need to hear. Tell them where to find you, Andrew.
At BK Show, Andrew M. And you find me in the cut with your bitch.
Oh! It's BK Show 1 on Twitter. Shout out to Bobby Gunn. He will be on the show soon. The man has had 4 bare knuckle fights since we talked to him last. God damn, is he still going? Oh, Bobby's still going, trying to get the Kimbo fight slice. Bobby! still fighting. He's still fighting, talking about bare knuckles about to be the next UFC.
Ryan was wrong on the time. We actually have an extra overtime minute. At this point, I would just like to come out and click say. I never thought I would say this in my life, but go Tigers, baby. Let's go Clemson.
Oh, go Clemson. They are going to whip that Alabama ass. I said it in the beginning of the playoffs. Clemson will win the national title. I am all about Watson, baby. Let's go Tigers. Woo!
Ooh,
hit the rock. Touch the rock, motherfuckers.
How does that crow taste in your mouth when you talk about Deshaun Watson? Ooh,
ooh, who are you talking to, me? I've been saying Deshaun Watson is the next Charlie Ward since he was in high school.
I still have the text. This man, because we're Florida State fans.
Hey, shout out to Warman for picking USC to win the national title.
Hey, Kirk Herbstreit with Arizona State in his playoffs.